A Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Hwan. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
So just a few hours ago, British MPs finally voted on UK Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal. This happens over a month after it was originally scheduled and 2.5 years after the British public voted to leave the EU. So unlike the original Brexit vote back in 2016, where many political polls had predicted it would not be voted through, the outcome of this so-called meaningful vote was correctly predicted by many as a crushing defeat to Mrs. May.
And the deal split Theresa May's Conservative Party with 118 voting against her, and also the UK as a whole, with many still not united on Brexit. Now take a listen to the moment the vote was announced in Parliament.
The ayes to the right, 202. Ooh. The noes to the left, 432. Ooh.
There you go. The UK now on the other side of the meaningful vote, and the Brexit deal voted out by a whopping 230 votes. The largest defeat, by the way, for a sitting government in history.
Now, as promised, if the deal was rejected, opposition Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn tabled a vote of no confidence in the government, which could now trigger a general election. Now, take a listen to what he had to say about Mrs. May.
In the last 2 years, she's only had one priority, the Conservative Party. Her governing principle of delay and denial has reached the end of the line. She cannot seriously believe that after 2 years of failure, she is capable of negotiating a good deal for the people of this country. The most important issue facing us is that the government has lost the confidence of this House and this country. I therefore, Mr. Speaker, inform you I have now tabled a motion of no confidence in this government. And I'm pleased that motion will be debated tomorrow, so this House can give its verdict on the sheer incompetence of this government and pass that motion of no confidence in the government.
That was Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn there. And all this to help psych up our guests, because we've had to do many weeks of reorganization thanks to the initial postponement. We welcome in the studio Chris Humphrey, Executive Director at EU ASEAN Business Council. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And of course, Matthew Siegel, Independent Currency Analyst. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning.
Did you guys wake up to watch the debate in Parliament, lose any sleep, or just check the news in the morning?
I just checked the news this morning because I think we all knew what the outcome would be.
Kind of knew, right?
It's just that the size of the defeat was perhaps a surprise, but you know, we knew it was going to happen.
Likewise, it was pretty much predicted that the government was going to lose its vote, and I was surprised also by the margin, but it was almost a foregone conclusion.
Gentlemen, history has been set here, and by the way, our two guests are British gentlemen, so obviously it plays close to the heart. Something like this happened, is something so huge a defeat in history. What does it do with regard to the importance of Britain on the global stage? Chris?
I don't think it helps. We've had 2.5 years now, essentially, of paralysis in UK politics because of Brexit, with endless debates going to and fro. And to be fair to Theresa May, actually, on this, I think she had an absolutely impossible job. She was trying to be all things to all people, and that was never going to work. She ends up being nothing to anybody whatsoever. It doesn't help. The UK is a country with a great trading, a great political history, has always been a big player on the world stage, often punching above its weight, and this is just diminishing its credibility at the moment.
Matthew, your thoughts?
Yes, I mean, I think the rest of the world is just taking a very curious look at what's going on in Britain as it tries to implode itself. And Britain, as you say, has a long tradition of history, political history and democracy. I mean, at best, you could say this is actually democracy in action. But again, it will evolve, and Britain will come out the other side eventually and regain certain respectability. But at the moment, it's just looking very silly. The country.
Would you gentlemen say that, you know, with this vote that happened overnight, that really the world has taken notice of where the UK, or at least Britain, stands with regard to Brexit?
I'm not sure that Britain knows where it stands with regard to Brexit at the moment, to be quite honest with you, because the way ahead's not that clear. I mean, the world can look at it, and as Matthew just said, you can look at it and say, this is democracy in action. This is all about taking back control, and Parliament has taken back control, and Parliament has said, this deal you come up with, we don't like. What there isn't, though, is any clear path to what sort of deal they may like and may vote through.
Okay.
I mean, okay, it's democracy in action. The UK, though, needs to try and sort life out. The markets will tell you that, the business will tell you that, the people on the street, having been back in the UK over Christmas and New Year, people are basically just fed up with the whole discussion.
Mm. Matthew, what are you hearing from your friends?
I mean, again, as Chris said, I mean, people really have had enough of Brexit. They just want a decision made one way or the other and just get on with it and move forward with it. This has really taken 2.5 years of just infighting, and it's a complete mess, and we've just got to get out of this mess and go forward. And everybody just wants a clear-cut answer, really. Yeah.
It's funny because we're at a stage where the only clear direction coming out of Britain is really the national football team. Thank you for laughing.
Well, in the studio today, we have Chris Humphrey, Executive Director at the EU-ASEAN Business Council, as well as Matthew Siegel, who is Independent Currency Analyst, both with us in conversation.
According to a Sky News data poll, more than half of Britons, about 53%, say they would support holding a second referendum because people feel the deal is not what anybody, you know, whether it's the camp that voted to leave or remain, voted for. Chris, do you have any thoughts on this, the possibility of a second referendum? Would that sort things out, perhaps?
I think last night's vote means a second referendum becomes more likely.
Okay.
Because at the moment, the default is no deal. And there's clearly no majority for no deal. There's only a few people within Parliament who would support that. I'm not sure a second referendum would resolve the issue. I think if there was one, it was held tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what's the question? Let's assume it's the same question as before. The vote would be extremely close still. It wouldn't be clear and decisive. The other question is it right to hold a second referendum? We've had one. The people voted, whether you like the vote or not, whether you think they voted on the right set of arguments and discussion points or not, is neither here nor there. There was a vote. So do you need to have a second vote? But if you have one, I'm not sure it would resolve the issue.
Okay.
And a second vote may, you know, also bring up the same kind of results, I suppose.
That's my fear, personally.
So we're not going anywhere. We're just going around in circles, extending the whole process. And you mentioned you just want to get over this whole Brexit talk.
Actually, when the deal was rejected, this is what Prime Minister Theresa May had to say.
It is clear that the House does not support this deal, but tonight's vote tells us nothing about what it does support. Nothing about how or even if it intends to honour the decision the British people took in a referendum Parliament decided to hold.
British Prime Minister Theresa May speaking there. So, second referendum is a possibility, like you mentioned, Chris. Matthew, we talked about this at the start of our conversation about that lack of clarity. This vote, does it bring more clarity? Or are we still...
It does. It gets one thing out the way, and that was the bad deal that Theresa May proposed, and she will have to readjust. And going back to the second referendum, the EU would probably prefer to have a second referendum for the UK to actually see how the general public are swaying in the Brexit views. I agree with Chris. You can't have a neverendum, as they say. You know, basically, you know, one wins, another one wins. You have the best of three or you have the best of five. Is it a bigger majority? Is it a lower majority? But still staying in, it's not very decisive at all. So I think that is not the real answer, even though the EU would probably propose that.
Mm. So now Theresa May is the subject of our next question.
Yes, she is. We're talking about Theresa May's own reputation and whether she can survive, especially this being the biggest defeat for a UK Prime Minister in nearly a century. And we know Theresa May is a fighter and has survived a vote of no confidence before from her own party, and that happened last year. Do you think she can survive this round?
Absolutely.
Yes, she's a cat with nine lives. I think definitely that she's managed to survive purely because nobody else wants the job. And it's just a poison chalice, really. And it's such a difficult one to deal with that nobody really wants to step into her shoes. So I think she will survive.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Turkeys don't vote for Christmas, so Tory MPs aren't about to vote for a general election, which they probably wouldn't win if it was held tomorrow. The DUP won't vote in favour of the motion of confidence either, for the same reason. So I think, yes, she'll win that vote in her confidence tonight. Then she has to come back to Parliament by next Monday with her plan B, whatever that may be.
Yeah, actually, since you brought that up, she's got 3 days to get this done. And there have been sources that indicated that the UK government is potentially considering a bit of a sunset clause, which would put an end date to the Irish backstop. Do you think such an amendment to the deal would satisfy Brexiters, Chris?
I think it would help persuade some of those that voted against to vote in favour of it. Whether it can turn around a 230 majority is a different matter. Yeah.
Mm.
That majority was made up of people who were anti-Brexit, some who were in favour of a very, very hard Brexit indeed, some who just didn't like parts of the deal itself, and then those who didn't like the Irish backstop. And that's a hell of a coalition to try and turn around. My money personally is on an extension to Article 50 while she then tries to work out a way forward.
Matthew, any thoughts?
I mean, yes, the sunset deal would actually make it easier for the coalition DUP party to vote with her and gain those votes. Again, it would probably be rejected by the EU anyway. I don't think they would allow that to happen. So I think it's purely a theoretical question. I don't think it will actually come into force.
Good point there. You've got to remember this. It's not only got to go through the UK Parliament, it's got to go through the European Parliament as well, whatever deal is negotiated.
She's going back to the drawing board in that sense, that entire, all those steps that she's got to take.
She needs to work out where she could find the biggest majority in Parliament, and that means working across the party lines.
Well, I do not envy her at all. Chris Humphrey, Executive Director at EU ASEAN Business Council, as well as Matthew Siegel, Independent Currency Analyst, in the studio with us. This vote that took place overnight, how do you think this is going to impact business sentiment here in Asia? Say, I'm an Asian businessman, I've got dealings with Britain, I've already been on edge. What do I do now? Chris, any thoughts?
I think you sit tight still while you're trying to work out what's going to happen. I mean, UK is still a great place to go and invest in. Mm-hmm. UK has very good business-friendly policies, but I think if you're investing in the UK with a view to using the UK as a base to access the rest of Europe, you probably want to sit tight. If you're investing in the UK for the sake of trading in the UK, you still go ahead and do stuff.
Well, the UK is still the fifth or sixth world's largest economy, and that's not going to change overnight. Mm-hmm. It's still a place to do business. And I mean, obviously, a lot of businesses will wait and see type policy, but eventually this will resolve itself. And the UK economy is not going to go up in a puff of smoke. So I think there is the long-term view that it is a safe place to do business. It's mm-hmm. just a matter of timing of when you get involved.
Okay, a wait and see really is the best advice to give.
I think the no deal scenario is probably almost certainly off the table, and that's the one that businesses really did fear.
So it's a case of getting the best deal possible or no Brexit at all. Then this is what a business person should look at?
I would say
businesses look at stability and consistency rather like financial markets do. And I mean, we are moving towards possibly a softer Brexit or no Brexit at all. And the hard Brexit seems to be, with the various machinations going on in Westminster politics over the last few weeks, seems to be ruled out more and more. So I think there's going to be a little bit more clarity. The tunnel is still a long way off, and the light at the end of the tunnel is still a very long way off. But it's going to happen sooner or later.
That's very nicely put, Matthew.
But given all the uncertainty that's happening right now, I mean, this question for Chris, you being the Executive Director at EU ASEAN Business Council as well, given the uncertainty, the volatility, have you been seeing perhaps, businesses from Britain that are perhaps more restrained or more concerned or slowing down, perhaps making any deals until we have a clearer decision on where this is headed with regard to dealing with ASEAN?
Actually, no, on the contrary. I think we see a lot of European firms still investing heavily in ASEAN, and it includes British companies as well. So British Telecom Group recently announced that they've opened up their new HQ here, doing a lot of investment in cybersecurity. Firms like GSK and Unilever from the UK are investing heavily in the region and continuing to grow their presence in the region. So I don't see UK companies holding back. I don't see European firms holding back from ASEAN. I think they all see this as a great region for growth and opportunity going forward. And it doesn't matter really what's going on back in your home country. If you're looking to grow internationally as a business, you'll come to ASEAN.
And now a question that will impact anyone who pays attention to the pound on any scale, from business to perhaps even thinking about going on holiday. We saw the pound drop initially before it recovered. Now it's getting slightly stronger. Matthew, what do you think is going on with the British pound right now?
Well, again, it's one of these issues is out the way. There's a little bit more clarification. As I mentioned before, financial markets hate uncertainty. Yeah. They like consistency. And the pound is so low at the moment, not because of the state of the UK economy so much, it's the state of the uncertainty over Brexit. It's already been priced in. Now, as that hard deal, no deal, or whatever Brexit gets moved out of the sort of viewing, we will see the pound start to recover. We're going to have a lot more volatility over the next few days and weeks, but the general consensus seems to be that the pound is going to go up. It's going to be back to its more natural rebalancing against the US dollar around the 140 level. Just on options on the sterling, put options are a trading strategy where people have the right but not the obligation to sell the pound at a lower level. Now, we've seen volumes in this trading strategy drop to 7-month lows over the last week or two, which means that the market is starting to look at a recovery in sterling.
Okay. I know you mentioned volatility expected over the next couple of days, but what kind of percentage movement should we expect, should we even care, if Mrs. May loses her vote of no confidence later on?
I think that would have an impact on the pound because that opens up the door for potential Labour, the government. I don't believe they would win a general election, but there is a potential there. Now, Labour are traditionally high-spending, high-borrowing government, and that would have an impact on the pound. We could see that lower.
Okay. Any best-case scenario?
For the pound, yeah, that the deal gets through and the vote is done on next Monday or whenever Plan B comes out, and then we could see sterling up to gain at least 3 or 4 cents immediately, and it will continue to go higher.
And coming from, if I'm an ignorant person, looking at the volatility of the pound, so to speak, things do get better approaching March 29. That should be my mindset.
If there is
from a layman point of view.
Yeah, if there's a decision in place and it is a sort of general softer Brexit, that is better for the pound. If there's a hard deal, a no-deal Brexit, then the pound really will be in for a rough time.
All right, thank you for that.
Right, you're just hearing from Matthew Siegel, who is independent currency analyst, as well as Chris Humphrey, who's executive director at the EU-ASEAN Business Council, with us in the studio, helping us make sense of the post-Brexit vote that happened overnight, perhaps while you were sleeping.
Well, final question. European Commission has published its no-deal contingency plans with 14 essential and urgent policies for EU member states to adopt. Chris, do you have any takeaways from this to share?
I think it's just prudent planning on behalf of the European Commission. And indeed, the UK government themselves have issued their own no-deal planning scenarios at the same time. So I think you need to work on these scenarios just in case. But I agree, Matthew. I think the idea of a no-deal outcome has got less and less. And I think the vote last night actually means it's even less.
Okay.
There's no majority in favour of a no deal. It's a question of what degree of softness any potential deal is, I think, going forward.
Okay.
Because you do need to plan on these things. Many people would say the planning should have happened months ago, in fact, because between now and March 29th is not a great deal of time to bring in any new laws or regulations or hire people to do stuff.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, gentlemen. I really appreciate it. Chris Humphrey, Executive Director at EU-ASEAN Business Council, as well as Matthew Siegel, Independent Currency Analyst, joining us in the studio. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.